Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I am smiling and chuckling in the background because guess what, folks? This is our sex show. Yes, we're going to be talking all about sex. Now, do you like sex? Most people do. Do you want a deeper connection with sex, whether that's sex with a partner or sex with yourself? Well, stay tuned because Anya Letra is going to help us understand more about our sexual connection. Okay, so sit back, relax, get your partner. Sit back, relax, okay, and learn about sex. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence, but they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Anya Letra is a somatic sex and intimacy coach focusing on embodiment practices and a tantra. She teaches individuals and couples, number one, to understand and use their sexuality to connect deeper with themselves and others. Number two, to find courage to ask for what they really want. Number three, to develop relationships that are loving and passionate. And fourth, to expand their definitions of sex and pleasure. Now, you can check her out at her website, and that is sfsexcoaching.com. Welcome, Anya.
Hi, I feel very welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. So let's just jump right into it. What is somatic sex and somatic sex coaching?
Somatic.
Somatic.
I know. It's hard to pronounce, somatic sex coaching.
Okay, so what is it?
Somatic is body-based. So somatic means we are trying to bring people back into their bodies, out of their heads. And especially when it comes to sex, it's incredibly important to stay in your body versus in your thinking mind, planning when you're going to do your laundry or being worried about your partner. So I find that somatic approach to sex coaching is very powerful. And coaching in comparison with therapy is dealing with the experiences of the past. Mm-hmm. How did you get where you are today? And they help you to process that. Coaching is a little bit different. It is looking at where you are today and how can you be brought from where you are to where you want to go. So it's much more present and future oriented, and my job is to give people tools and practices and skills to help them reach their goals.
Okay, so a somatic sex coaching, kind of like the mindfulness movement right now, where mindfulness, they want you to be present. And since this is body coaching, to be present when you're having sexual relations with someone, instead of, like you said, ticking off the laundry list or counting the holes in the ceiling or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, the best lover is the lover who is able to be fully present with their partner in the moment, connected to their body, also mm-hmm. connected to their partner's body, and really aware of themselves, of their senses. And it's not easy to do in our busy world where our connection to the mind is valued, and oftentimes people treat their bodies as just a vehicle for the brain, to bring the brain from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all about helping people get more into their bodies, out of their heads, and stay present with the experience.
Well, you know, Anya, you sound like such a young lady. I mean, young in age. How did you get into all of this and figure out that this is the way that you wanted to be of service to the world?
Well, I was intrigued and curious about sex for as long as I remember, and I had high hopes for it. But when I lost my virginity, it was a bit of a disappointment. Nothing like what Hollywood wants you to believe it is.
Yeah.
And so the next 15 years, I spent learning all I could about it and how to make it special. And I ended up studying Tantra and sacred sexuality. I traveled the world doing that. A number of body-based practices like dance, yoga, martial arts, massage. And then later, I trained in a somatica method of sex and intimacy coaching. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized that my lifelong study of personal growth, sexuality, and relationships was a calling to help others.
Well, I am grateful that you did, because, you know, as a psychic, I get so many people calling about relationships, and then they delve into sex. And I don't always know what to, you know, tell them about the sexual part. I mean, I know what I like, but I don't know, you know, how to open it up for other people. So it's like you bridge that gap where people can work with you to find out what they truly like. Now, what kinds of concerns do people come to you with? What's, you know, that hot button for them?
Sure. It can be anything from mismatching libidos, confidence issues, body image, sexual trauma or performance anxiety. It can be porn addiction, struggling with desire in long-term relationships. It can be inability to communicate sexual needs, feeling insecure about sexual technique, not being to orgasm or orgasming too fast, mm-hmm. sexual dysfunction, shame around one's desires, difficulties getting turned on, and the list goes on. Turns out there are a lot of things that are complicated and complex when it comes to sex.
Okay, is there one common struggle that strikes out more than others that you've noticed in your practice?
I would say probably disagreement about frequency of sex. Mm-hmm. And men come to me struggling a lot with performance anxiety. And for women, it is low desire. Mm-hmm. And then in our society, there is so much pressure for women to be wet at the drop of a hat and orgasm quickly and from intercourse only. And then men are expected to want sex all the time and always be hard and stay hard. Mm-hmm. These kinds of messages are so toxic and completely unrealistic and create a lot of problems in the bedroom. And I certainly invite people to look at all the different messages around sex that they internalize and see if they serve them or not, or how they damage their sexual relationships.
Well, how can you get people to open up and really talk about sex? I mean, if you're out, you know, and you're looking for a hookup or whatever, you know, you meet somebody and you go do whatever you do and, you know, life goes on. But how do you really communicate to that person what it is that is wanted, needed?
It begins with self-exploration. If you don't know yourself, what makes you tick, what's exciting and pleasurable for you, mm-hmm. it will be very hard for your partner to guess that. And of course, again, another myth that I debunk very often is this idea that if only you meet the specialist and compatible someone, they will magically guess mm-hmm. what you need in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it can't be further away from truth. you need yourself to explore, to engage in self-pleasure, learn how your body functions, and then you can teach your partner how to play you like an instrument. And of course, some of it is collaborative. You will explore together. But being comfortable and confident in your body and comfortable with your desires and needs is a prerequisite for you to be comfortable talking about it and bringing it up to the table.
Well, why is it such taboo, or at least from what I hear from women that I work with, for them to pleasure themselves sexually? They're like, oh, no, I can't do that, as if, you know, you're asking them to, I don't know, jump off the edge of the world or something. It's like it's okay for men, but not for women. How do we get past that?
There's so much stigma around and shame around sex and sexuality. A lot of people learn from early age that self-pleasure, masturbation, your body as a sexual organ is shameful. The reasons for that are complex. Some women don't like the way their bodies look. They were brought up to believe that they should be looking perfect, symmetrical, always young, smelling like flowers. So I would say it's just ignorance. Sometimes it can be laziness, this idea that my sexuality exists only in connection with my partner, and I shouldn't even try to do it on my own. It should be sex together. Some people get sad, actually, when you ask them to self-pleasure. They're like, oh, well, that's kind of lonely. It reminds me that I don't have a partner. And I encourage people to self-explore and figure out how their bodies function. There is so much pleasure there. And I love the idea that you are a sexual being, whether you have a partner or not. Sexual energy is the energy of aliveness and creativity in you. And it is walking down the street and being able to feel the wind on your face. And this excitement of feeling alive is what is the true essence of sexuality, not just 5 minutes or 1 minute when you orgasm. It is about your connection with the world, not just with that one person, if you're lucky enough to have a partner.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize how important the mix of sexual energies are when you are engaging with someone. When you have sex with someone and you have that orgasm, you're blending energies, if you will. You're blending fluids, but it goes deeper to where you're blending energy. So if you've had sex with someone, guess what? Part of that energy is going to stay with you forever in this incarnation. So it's important to be choosy to a degree, I think, as to who you allow to share that energy exchange with. And then at the same time, when you have that wonderful orgasm, it's chakra balancing. So if somebody tells you that your chakras are out of alignment, the easiest way to fix it is just to go out there and have an orgasm. A good one. Okay.
I love that.
And another way that you can utilize the sexual energy is to cleanse your aura. When you have that orgasm, I think if you're being mindful and paying attention to your body, you will feel the release throughout your body. And that is just cleansing your aura. You're letting go of all the crap. But at the same time, you're still taking on some of that other person's energy. So I think that this somatic sex that coaching that Anya does is so important because it affects you much deeper than just the physical. Folks, we're speaking with Anya Leita. She is the owner of SF Sex Coaching, and the website is SF. I'll get that out. It's like San Francisco, SF. sexcoaching.com. Check her out. She's got a beautiful website and a lot of information there that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Now, Anya, you mentioned earlier that people get together and they're married or whatever it is that they are, and they have mismatched libidos. the guy wants more. I've been finding out recently with my client, Liz, that the woman wants more, and the guy is like, hey, back off. You must be some type of freak. So
right.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, there is no one-size-fits-all solution for libido mismatch. It is quite a complex dilemma. If it's possible, I would suggest really exploring what makes each of the partners tick sexually. Expand their definition of sex. If the only dish that is available is boiled rice without any spices, it's easy to understand why somebody would not be very excited about dinner. Just like there are different love languages, there are different sexual languages. Is your partner excited about you being really romantic? Or maybe they don't care so much about rose petals and candles, but would love you passionately ravishing them on the kitchen floor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they want to see you being dominant and helping them let go of control. I would invite them to become really curious about different ways their partner experiences pleasure and see if adding variety will also add more excitement. That's, of course, if there is a mutual interest in moving toward a more connected and enjoyable sex together. In cases when one of the partners is interested in that and the other doesn't want to have anything to do with sex, there is also an option of exploring ethical non-monogamy and outsourcing sex outside. Again, not everyone will be okay with that. A lot of people outsource non-ethically. There are various solutions depending on how comfortable people are and how ready they are to bring change into their lives.
Okay. Well, the one thing that we haven't talked about yet, and we have much more to talk about, is though protecting yourself having sex, especially if you are not in a relationship and you have various partners, or you're in a long-term relationship and you know, with mutual agreement or not, you decide to step out of that relationship and engage with someone. How can we, or what should we do to make sure that we are safely exploring? What questions do we ask? What do we do?
Mm-hmm. There are different levels of safety. Are you asking about physical safety or emotional safety?
Well, let's start with physical and then go to emotional.
Well, of course, as an adult, I think you have responsibility to make sure that you yourself are safe and your partner or partners are safe. So making sure you use a protection, making sure you have a conversation about STIs is crucial. Of course, there is no 100% bulletproof protection from all the diseases. Uh-huh. So you will have to know your risk profile and how much risk are you willing to take.
Uh-huh.
I think the way to do it ethically is to talk with all your partners about their comfort with the risks you're taking.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it means to be responsible, mature adult. So ideally, the conversation will start with how long ago have you been tested? Do you have any health conditions that I need to be aware of? Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with us using condom, for example? And then when it comes to emotional risks, again, depends on how evolved you are. Are you able to talk to your partner about your potential desire to get involved with other people? Are they able to handle it? Are you able to be there in the face of their disappointment? They potentially not going to be okay, but they might choose to break up with you if you bring up desires. So there are all sorts of risks to navigate, but I still think it's worth being open and transparent versus hiding and risking to lose your partner when they find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with the physical aspect, I mean, there's tests that you can, you know, go get to make sure that, you know, the person is clean or whatever their status is. People my age, you know, over the hill folks, okay, the single people in my age group, they're not asking those questions. They're just going for it, if you will. And they don't understand that the opportunity for STIs is just as prevalent for the baby boomers as it is for the younger generations. Now, my experience based on the people that I've worked with, the younger generation is pretty upfront with, okay, let's go get tested. Here's my results. Here's your results. And they make a choice and move forward. But my generation seems to be, well, I don't want to use a condom because that doesn't feel good, so I'll just take a chance. But is that really a healthy way for people to go about it?
I think it's a very irresponsible way. I do not recommend it. It is risky. If you don't care about your partner, at least care about yourself.
Exactly.
There is a huge risk, and it's not going to be worth it. I think it's good to ask yourself, if I was to get genital herpes as a result of this endeavor, would it be worth it to me? There are certainly concerns.
Okay. Generally, at the beginning of a relationship, two people hook up, they get together, it feels good, you just can't keep your hands off each other, and it seems like they can have this exciting relationship, sexual relationship anyway, without putting any work into it, without doing the things that you talked about. Does it always morph to where you need to put the work in at some point in time?
Well, sadly, it does. You're in your honeymoon phase, which lasts for some people up to a year. For some, it's just 3 months. Your brain is flooded with powerful chemicals like dopamine. Mm-hmm. And they are responsible for feeling of euphoria or intense energy. And they play a huge role in sexual chemistry. So it feels very effortless for couples. Initially, everything magically works without seemingly needing to do anything or work at it. And this is, you can think of it as a nature's way to make sure you will procreate, ignoring each other's shortcomings. And it is, your brain literally feels as if it was on a drug like heroin when you are around this person. This person, in fact, is your drug. And then, of course, after a while, the brain chemistry returns to normal. And that's when you have to put in the work to make things exciting. And then, of course, you know, there is another side. People say, oh, we didn't do anything at the beginning and it was fantastic. But the reality is, a lot of people would put a lot of thought and creativity into, let's say, planning an adventure together, going to an opera or dressing up. Mm-hmm. So in retrospect, it seems like they didn't do much. However, they actually planned a lot and contributed a lot to the initial excitement by making it a priority.
Okay, so it's kind of like foreplay without physical touching.
Right. And of course, like years later, it's easier to think, oh, we didn't do much. However, at that point, people don't plan exciting escapades and adventures anymore. If they put the same amount of energy and effort as they did when they first started dating and they were trying to impress each other, things would be different.
Okay. Now, what is the one piece of sexual advice that you can share that would help just about anybody, you know, improve their sex life? If there was one, like, common denominator, what would that be?
People think that there is only one kind of sexual desire, spontaneous. And it means you're walking down the street or sitting at a meeting, and all of a sudden you wish you could have sex. Uh-huh. Now, research shows that spontaneous desire is much more prevalent in men, and actually majority of women experience responsive desire. It means that they have a need for stimulation and arousal first before getting excited and being in the mood for sex. Uh-huh. It means that instead of waiting patiently, sometimes for years, for desire to occur spontaneously, you and your partner can schedule a date and introduce some sexy stimulation without waiting for it to just happen. And that's what I see with many couples, especially with libido mismatch. One of the partners would be just waiting for their desire to occur spontaneously, or it might happen to both. And instead, just allow the idea that perhaps your desire is more responsive. And so you have to introduce some sort of stimulation before you will actually feel arousal. And I think this understanding how it works can bring a lot of change into people's sexual life. As sex researcher Emily Nagoski says, choose to go to a party. You know, sometimes you know you scheduled a party a week ago, and now the time is approaching, and the party is tonight, and you feel like, oh man, I need to dress up, I need to drive there. You really don't want to go. But because you promised, you show up, and you actually end up having a great time. So mm-hmm. the same goes for sex and responsive desire. Choose to go to the party.
Okay. But what about the woman who says, I've been hurt so many times by this guy, but for whatever reason, they still want to stay with him, and they feel they just can't have sex with him anymore, that it's just, you know, too much of a hurt on the emotions. Is that really an excuse, or is it something that's actually real for them that, you know, because of the body chemicals or whatever, they can't go there?
Well, some people need to reconnect emotionally before they are able to be open to have intimacy and sex. Mm-hmm. And some people, it's the opposite. They need to have sex in order to open up emotionally. Oftentimes, women need to be feeling emotionally safe to open up sexually, and men actually will open up emotionally when they have sex. So it is a little bit of a dilemma or paradox and complication, mm-hmm. and communication will help with that, even though okay. it is a challenge.
Yeah, because people are afraid. I was going to ask you next, why is it that so many people are either afraid or find it hard to express their needs when it comes to sex?
A lot of people don't even know what their need when it comes to sex, other than somebody might think, okay, my need is to have sex. Mm-hmm. But that's too abstract. There are way more needs. There are deeper needs that are being satisfied through sex. It might be desire to feel seen or special or adored or powerful or in control or out of control. There are so many feelings that we are looking for when we choose to engage sexually, and they are way beyond just orgasm, even though, of course, it's fair. A lot of people enjoy that part the most.
Well, you know, I think I remember way back when, once you finally have a orgasm, you're like, whoa, what was I missing all these years, you know? And you want to repeat that experience again and again and again. Let's see. Why do you emphasize the connection to our body? I mean, the somatic coaching is all about body coaching. Why is that truly so important? Because, I mean, I can just, like, you know, do me and, like, be done with it and move on. So why is it important for that deep, deep connection?
Right. Well, I think there is nothing worse than disembodied and disconnected sex when somebody is entirely in their head, being lost in worries about whether they look the right way, whether they can please their partner or stay hard. So feeling connected to your body will help you to know what you enjoy and what you don't. It will help with boundaries. Our bodies don't lie if you really listen to them. And also what we mentioned, being 100% present with your partner is the best quality in a lover, and it's impossible to do it without being aware and connected with your body. Our bodies have so much pleasure potential, and if you stay in your head or checked out having an out-of-body experience, you will never be able to tap into it.
I was trying to decide if I wanted to share this or not, but I'll share it. One of the best orgasms I have personally ever had was from a guy who did nothing but kiss my back from neck to the bottom of my back. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was so soft. It was so sensual. It was just freaking amazing. And I'm like, you know, but that was at a point in time when I was, you know, interested in paying attention, I guess.
That's beautiful. And see, like, again, another part of being a good lover or having really enjoyable sex is non-goal-oriented type of engagement. And it sounds like he wasn't goal-oriented. He was just in the present, connecting with you, appreciating your beauty. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, he was truly about pleasure, and he was one of the few guys in my past who was truly about pleasure and wanting, you know, to make sure that the other person had their needs met in addition to getting their needs met, and I really appreciated that with him. Other things I didn't, so it didn't work out, but hey, you know, at least that's something that he taught me, and I taught him. In addition to having your website, sfsexcoaching.com, udemy.com, you also have a course on Udemy. So tell us about the course on Udemy and how people can connect with that, because right now you're offering a 40% discount.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I recently filmed a short course on understanding attachment theory in adults and how it can help you thrive in relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to go through. You can go to my website and sign up for a newsletter, and you will receive news about this course. I also am planning a retreat for women in Costa Rica that will be focused on helping women get it more in touch with their body, with their pleasure, and have a very nourishing, healing experience in the jungle. So, yeah, I would love to stay in touch and tell you more about it. Please, you can go to the homepage of my website, sfsexcoaching.com, and sign up for a newsletter. And I will be happy to tell you more about the offerings.
Okay, now you said attachment. So what is this attachment theory that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
So attachment is the way that we relate to others. This is a simple way to understand it. Mm-hmm. So in our adult relationships, as well as the relationships with our parents, we have an attachment figure, and humans were meant to bond together. So when you are in a relationship, you are bonding with your partner on a very deep level. So if they are distressed, you will feel it. You will be distressed as well. And if they are happy, you will feel that as well. There are several types of attachment. There is a secure type, and those who are securely attached are their underlying belief is that they are worthy of love and affection, and they're great partners to be with because they don't take things personally. Then another attachment style is anxious, and underlying belief of anxious is I'm going to be abandoned. And so anxiously attached people constantly monitoring for threats in their relationships. And sometimes they engage in protest behavior where when they feel threatened, when they think their partner might be leaving them or not giving them enough attention, they will start withdrawing and punishing them. That's in a nutshell. And then the third group are avoidantly attached people. Their underlying belief that is that everyone should be able to take care of themselves. They are that real lone wolf. They don't need so much attention and affection, and they might be disconnecting or withdrawing or wanting to spend time on their own. If you had a partner who just disappeared after a wonderful date, they might be avoidantly attached. So to not go into all the details, you can definitely take my course and learn more about it. I will just say that understanding your attachment style and your partner's attachment style, or if you're dating, understanding your date attachment style will save you a lot of heartache.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will, folks. I took her course, and you can do it, you know, in a very short period of time. Plus, you graduate with a certificate, but more importantly, you get grounded information, and you learn a lot about yourself, and you do learn a lot about the people that are around you. I took it a little bit further than just, you know, a partner. Was looking at other people around me and what is my attachment style to them and theirs to me. So there's a lot to be learned, and as I said, there's a 40% discount, which is a fantastic deal right now, very reasonably priced, and I feel that you will get a lot out of it. So do, you know, send her, go on her website and sign up for her newsletter, because this is worth worth you checking out. And the wonderful thing I love about Anya is that she doesn't, you know, just send you a bunch of junk in an email and constantly. She sends you pertinent information at the right time. It's always amazing to me how the right information from her shows up at the right time. Now, Anya, I got to ask you this. You're living in San Francisco. There's, you know, all types of sexual relationships. Do you find that men are, because I know that you're attracted to men, do you find that they're intimidated by you when they find out what you do?
Yes, certainly. Sometimes they do, and sometimes it also puts pressure on me to be this super sexual human. But I believe I have similar struggles as everyone else. It can be not always wanting as much sex as my partner does, or not always being as excited as when we first met. But I also have a lot of tools and know that my sexual desire is very connected to my cycle, and there will be always ebbs and flows. I can communicate and stay connected to my partner in the times when our sex is less fireworks-like. And there is no perfect, nobody has it perfect. It fluctuates, we change every day, especially women. So having tools and practices that can ground you, that can help you be patient and creative. I think sexuality has such a huge potential for us to be creative with each other.
Okay. Now, what do you have to say to people who have been in a relationship for a long time and have been married 44 years and hasn't been anybody else? So what do you say to people like me to keep it fresh and exciting? Because, you know, the line he used way back when we met, it doesn't work today.
I will say schedule a sex date. A lot of times, this is what I tell my clients, and a lot of people are against it. They're like, oh, well, this is not romantic. It was all working when we first met. We'll kill it for us. Well, guess what? You schedule anything that's in your life that's important to you, you schedule. If you want to go have dinner with a dear friend, you're going to schedule it. If you want to learn how to play piano, you're going to schedule a class. Same goes for connecting sexually with your partner. And it's all about your attitude. You can think, oh, this is not sexy, what a burden. Or you can anticipate it. You know, okay, Thursday night, this is my special time, 3 hours of uninterrupted time with my partner. And you can get excited about it and bring something special to the table. Perhaps you decide you can explore something you haven't explored yet, or read each other erotica, or just caress each other's bodies, give each other oil massage. Getting out of the mindset that intercourse is the only option is important. Expanding your erotic menu and expanding your definition of sex is crucial when you are in a long-term relationship. And, of course, it helps to be open-minded, because there are a lot of things out there to explore, whether it's kink and BDSM and role-playing. It can be tantra and sexuality and taking classes and connecting with each other energetically. Mm-hmm. It's a huge playground. It's better not to limit it to a small sandbox. Mm.
Oh, well, I remember way back when, about maybe 20 years ago, we were going through a little bit of a rough patch, as you do if you're in a long-term relationship. And I couldn't figure out how to get us back on track. So what I did was I rented a hotel room that had a jacuzzi tub in it. I bought our favorite snacky foods and champagne and whatever else we wanted to drink. I packed his bag, because he didn't know what was going on. I packed his bag, put him in the car. I blindfolded him with his tie. He couldn't take it off until we reached the destination. And I had, you know, checked in early, so we went directly to the room, and he was blindfolded. And once we got there, and he could see everything that was done and see the food and the drink and especially the jacuzzi tub, and he just melted, and we just came back together like, you know, magic. And I suggest that to anybody who's in a long-term relationship that, you know, things are just misfiring at the moment. Perhaps that can bring you back together. What are your thoughts around that, Anya?
Oh, I love that. Another thing I would say is that in a long-term relationship, oftentimes people get depolarized. So there is this idea of sexual polarity that's very important when it comes to sexual chemistry. So usually in a couple, regardless of whether it's same-sex couple or heterosexual couple, there will be certain polarity. There will be masculine pole and feminine pole. So it doesn't matter what you're like during your normal life. However, in the bedroom, the chemistry, sexual chemistry, will be the strongest when the polarity is the strongest. And so oftentimes people tend to depolarize. Like, let's say if you have a job at which you need to be in your masculine, very focused and goal-oriented. It's really hard, especially for women, to come back from a job like this back home and be very comfortable in their feminine. So let's say you have a woman in her masculine and then man in his masculine, and so there is no polarity, there is no attraction, which is why it helps to do something like, let's say, taking a trip to Hawaii. The reason so many people go to a tropical paradise and feel like they fell in love again is because it gives them opportunity to connect with their essence.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes for women, their sexual essence is feminine. And for men, it's masculine. And it can be reversed as well, but the polarity is needed for the sparks to fly. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to do something out of your character, to surprise your partner, to be adventurous, or maybe to help yourself if you feel like you depolarized, connect with your sexual essence.
Okay. Now, at your website and your classes, what is it that you want people to do, to take away from the work that you present to the world?
My main message is your pleasure in sexual empowerment is your birthright. It is important. It's worth exploring. There are so many lessons in your sexuality and in your connection to your body. There is no normal. Normal is a setting on a dryer. Do not strive to be normal or don't think that something is off with you. You are unique, beautiful, worthy of love and affection.
Beautifully said. Folks, we've been speaking with Anya Leita, and you can check her out at her website, and that is sfsexcoaching.com. You can talk to her about her course on Udemy, and you know, check her out. If you're having sexual issues, definitely check her out. If you're wanting to enhance your sexual experience, definitely check her out, because she's here to be of service, and she can work worldwide. Okay, if you're in San Francisco Bay Area, you can come to her in person, or you know, if you're elsewhere, she can connect with you Skype or you know, any other of those apps that you know you can connect with. So do honor yourself and check it out. Anya, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic show on sex. I generally greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome, and thank you to the listeners for being with us today. The Divine in Me honors the Divine in You. When you are ready to raise your vibration, you can call me for an intuitive consultation. The intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of enjoying sex. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.